He escaped. She didn't want to go without the other Krims. Paris and Shay, at least. The Krims were so bubbly tonight, they'd probably all jump on hoverboards and head out if she said the word. But how bubbly would they be tomorrow? Suddenly, Tally felt exhausted. There were too many things to juggle. Too many worries all falling on her alone. All she'd wanted was to become a Krim, to feel safe inside a clique of friends, and now she'd found herself in charge of a rebellion.
Your friend have too much champagne?
Tally froze. The words had come out of the darkness, cutting her ears like fingernails scraping metal.
Hello?
A figure emerged from the shadows in a hooded winter coat, moving with total silence through the fallen leaves. The woman stood in a shaft of moonlight, 10 centimeters taller than Tally, taller even than Zane. She had to be special. Tally forced herself to relax, trying to conquer her nerves and make her face melt into the soft expression of a brand new pretty.
Shay, is that you being all scary-making? She said angrily.
The figure took another step forward into the light of a walkway torch.
No, Tally, it's me.
The woman pulled off her hood. It was Dr. Cable. The Dragon. Do I know you? Dr. Cable smiled coldly.
I'm sure you remember me, Tally.
Tally took a step back, letting some of her fear show. Even the most innocent new pretty would be frightened by the sight of Dr. Cable. Her cruel features, exaggerated by the moonlight, made her look like a beautiful woman half-transformed into a werewolf. Memories flooded into Tally's mind. Being trapped in Dr. Cable's office that awful first time they'd met. Learning of the existence of special circumstances. And then again when she had agreed to find and betray Shay. The price for becoming pretty. Then, in the smoke, after Cable had followed Tally with an army of specials to burn her new home to the ground.
Yeah, Tally said. I think I remember. I used to know you, right?
Indeed you did.
Cable's sharp teeth glowed in the moonlight.
But what's more important, Tally, is that I know you.
Tally managed a vacant smile.
Dr. Cable no doubt remembered their last meeting, Tally and David's rescue of the Smokies, when it had been necessary to crack her on the head.
Dr. Cable gestured at the black scarf that bound Tally's cuff tightly under her glove and winter coat.
Interesting way to wear a scarf.
What, are you fashion missing? Everybody does this.
But I imagine you started the trend. You were always tricky.
Tally beamed prettily.
I guess. I used to play all kinds of tricks back when I was ugly.
Nothing like today, though.
Oh, you saw the feeds? Wasn't that totally bogus? The ice just falling out from under us like that?
Yes, just like that.
Dr. Cable's eyes narrowed.
I must admit, at first you had me fooled. That floating rink was a typical architectural folly designed to amuse new pretties. An accident waiting to happen. But then I thought about the timing. The stadium full. 100 cameras ready.
Tally blinked, shrugged.
I bet it was those fireworks. You could feel them right through the ice. Whose missing idea was that?
Dr. Cable nodded slowly.
An almost believable accident. And then I saw your face on the news feeds, Tally. All wide-eyed and innocent, and telling your bubbly little tale.
Cable's upper lip curled into something that was not a smile.
And I realized that you were still playing tricks.
Tally felt something punch into her stomach. Something from ugly days. The old feeling of being caught. She tried to turn her fear into a look of surprise.
Me?
That's right, Tally. You. Somehow.
Under Dr. Cable's gaze, Tally imagined herself being hauled into the depths of special circumstances. The curve reversed,
her memories erased again. Or maybe this time they wouldn't bother returning her to New Pretty Town at all. She tried to swallow, but her mouth felt full of cotton.
Yeah, right. Like everything's my fault, she managed.
Dr. Cable stepped closer, and Tally fought to hold her ground, though her whole body screamed, run. The woman gazed at her coldly, as if peering at a specimen cut open on a table.
I certainly hope that it was your fault.
Tally frowned.
You hope what? Let's speak frankly, Tally Youngblood. I've had enough of your pretty act. I'm not here to take you away to my dungeon.
You're not?
Do you really think I care if you break things in New Pretty Town?
Kind of.
Dr. Cable snorted. Maintenance is not my department. Special circumstances is only interested in outside threats. The city can take care of itself, Tally. There are so many safety backups, it's hardly worth worrying about. Why do you think skaters on that rink had to wear bungee jackets?
Tally blinked. It hadn't crossed her mind to wonder about the jackets. Everything was always ultra-safe in New Pretty Town. Otherwise, New Pretties would kill themselves left and right. She shrugged.
In case the lifters failed? Like in a power blackout? Cable let out a razor-sharp laugh that lasted less than a second. There hasn't been a blackout in 150 years.
She shook her head at the thought and continued.
Knock down anything you want, Tally. I don't care about your little tricks. Except for what they reveal about you.
The woman's gaze focused on her once more, and Tally again had to fight the urge to run. She wondered if this was simply a way to get her to admit what the Crims had done. Probably she'd said too much already. But something about Dr. Cable's cold stare, her razor voice, her predatory movements, her very existence in the world, made it possible for Tally to act pretty-minded. By now, any real New Pretty would have fled screaming or dissolved into a puddle on the spot. Besides, if special circumstances really wanted Tally to confess her tricks, they wouldn't have bothered with the conversation.
So, why are you here? Tally said in her normal voice, trying hard to keep it steady. I've always admired your survival instinct, Tally. You were a good little traitor when you had to be.
Thanks, I guess.
Cable nodded. And now it turns out you have more of a brain than I gave you credit for. You resist conditioning very well.
Conditioning. That's what you call it? Tally swore. Like it's a hair treatment or something?
Amazing.
Dr. Cable leaned close again, her eyes focusing on Tally's, as if trying to bore through to her brain.
Somewhere in there, you're still a tricky little ugly, aren't you? Most impressive. I could use you, I think.
Tally felt a flush of anger, a fire inside her head.
Like, didn't you already use me? So you do remember. Superb.
The woman's cruel pretty eyes, flat and lusterless and cold, somehow showed pleasure.
I know that was an unpleasant experience, Tally, but it was necessary. We needed to take our children back from the smoke, and only you could help us. But I do apologize.
Apologize, Tally said, for blackmailing me into betraying my friends? For destroying the smoke? For killing David's father? She felt an expression of disgust on her face. I don't think you'll be using me, Dr. Cable. I've already done you enough favors. The woman only smiled again.
I agree. So it's time I did you a favor. What I am offering is something quite bubbly.
The word on Cable's thin, cruel lips made Tally laugh dryly.
What would you know about being bubbly? You'd be surprised. We at Special Circumstances know all about sensations, especially the ones you and your so-called crims are always searching for. I can give it to you, Tally. All day, every day. Bubblier than you can imagine. The real thing. Not just an escape from the haze of being pretty. Something better.
What are you talking about?
Remember flying on a hoverboard, Tally? Cable said, her dull eyes igniting with cold fire.
That feeling of being alive?
Yes, we can make people pretty inside, empty and lazy and vapid, but we can also make them bubbly, as you call it. More intense than you ever felt as an ugly. More alive than a wolf taking its prey. Even bubblier than ancient rusty soldiers killing one another over some plot of oil-rich desert. Your senses sharper, your body faster than any athlete's in history, your muscles as strong as any human's in the world.
The woman's razor voice fell silent, and Tally could suddenly hear the night around them perfectly. Icicles dripping against hard ground, trees creaking in the wind, the bonfire below spitting out random showers of sparks. She could hear the party perfectly. Crims shouting about the exploits of the day, arguing about who had bounced highest or landed hardest. Cable's words had left the world as sharp as broken crystal.
You should see the world as I see it, Tally.
You're offering me a job? As a special?
Not a job, a whole new being.
Dr. Cable said each word with deliberate care.
You can be one of us.
Tally was breathing hard, her pulse pounding through her entire body, as if the very idea was already changing her. She bared her teeth at Dr. Cable.
You think I'd work for you? Consider your other choice, Tally. Spending your life looking for cheap thrills, managing a few moments at a time truly awake, never clearing your head completely. But you'd make a fine special. Traveling to the smoke on your own was impressive. I always had hopes for you. But now that I see you're still tricky even after the operation,
Dr. Cable shook her head.
I realize that you're a natural. Join us.
A ping went through Tally as she understood something at last. Tell me something. What were you like as an ugly?
Outstanding, Tally. The woman barked her 1 second laugh. You already know the answer, don't you?
You were tricky.
Cable nodded. I was just like you. All of us were. We went to the ruins. Tried to run farther, had to be brought back. That's why we let uglies play their little tricks, to see who's the cleverest, to see which of you fights your way out of the cage. That's what your rebellion is all about, Tally. Graduating to special circumstances.
Tally closed her eyes and knew the woman was telling the truth. She remembered being an ugly, how easy it had always been to fool the dorm minders. How everyone always found ways around the rules. She took a deep breath.
But why? Because someone has to keep things under control, Tally.
That's not what I meant. What I want to know is, why do you do it to pretties? Why change their brains?
Goodness, Tally, isn't that obvious?
Dr. Cable shook her head in disappointment.
What do they teach you in school these days?
That the Rusties almost destroyed the world, Tally recited.
There's your answer.
But we're better than them. We leave the wild alone. We don't strip mine or burn oil. We don't have wars. Tally's voice sputtered out as she began to see. Dr. Cable nodded.
We are under control, Tally, because of the operation. Left alone, humans are a plague. They multiply relentlessly. Consuming every resource, destroying everything they touch. Without the operation, human beings always become Rusties.
Not in the smoke.
Think back, Tally. The Smokies clear-cut the land. They killed animals for food. When we landed, they were burning trees.
Not that many. Tally heard her voice break.
What if there had been millions of Smokies? Billions of them, soon enough. Outside of our self-contained cities, humanity is a disease, a cancer on the body of the world, but we...
She reached out and stroked Tally's cheek, her fingers strangely hot in the winter air.
Special circumstances. We are the cure.
Tally shook her head, stumbling back from Dr. Cable.
Forget it. This is what you've always wanted.
You're wrong, Tally shouted. All I ever wanted was to be pretty. You're the one who keeps getting in my way.
Her cry left them both in surprised silence, the last words echoing through the park. A hush settled over the party below, everyone probably wondering who was screaming her head off up in the trees. Dr. Cable recovered first, sighing softly.
Goodness, Tally, relax. There's no need to shout. If you don't want what I'm offering, I'll leave you to your party. Feel free to age into a smug middle pretty. Soon enough, being bubbly won't matter so much to you. You'll forget this little conversation.
Tally held the doctor's cruel pretty stare, almost wanting to tell her about the cure, to spit it back in her face. Tally's mind wasn't going to fade away. Not tomorrow, not in 50 years. She wasn't going to forget who she was. And she didn't need special circumstances to feel alive. Her throat still stung from yelling, but Tally said hoarsely,
Never. All I ask is that you think about it. Take your time deciding. It's all the same to me. Just remember the way it felt falling through that ice. You can have that feeling every second.
Dr. Cable waved a hand casually.
And if it makes a difference, I may even find space for your friend Zane. I've had my eye on him for some time. He was once of help to me.
A chill went through Tally, and she shook her head.
No.
Dr. Cable nodded.
Yes. Zane was very forthcoming about David and the smoke, that time he didn't run away.
She turned and disappeared into the trees.
Breakup.
Tally stumbled back to the party. The bonfire had grown bigger, its heat pushing back the revelers into a wide circle. Someone had requisitioned industrial-sized logs of peat, enough to burn through the Crim's collective carbon allowance for a month. The fire was topped off with fallen branches gathered from the park, and the hiss of still-green wood reminded Tally of cook fires in the smoke, when the water inside fresh-cut trees would boil, steam spilling out as if giving voice to the angry spirits of the forest. She looked up at the column of smoke rising, ominously dark against the sky. That's how the smoke had gotten its name. As Dr. Cable had said, the Smokies burned trees ripped alive from the ground. Human beings had been pulling that particular trick for thousands of years. A few centuries before, they'd almost put enough carbon in the air to screw up the climate for good. Only when someone had released an oil-transforming bacteria into the air had rusty civilization been brought to a halt and the planet saved. And now, at their bubbliest, the Crims were instinctively headed in the same direction. Suddenly, the warm, cheery fire just made Tally feel worse. She listened to the voices around her, bragging about how far they'd hoverboarded on the soccer field, debating who'd done the best interview for the feeds. Her unhappy conversation with Dr. Cable had left Tally's senses sharpened. She could separate every sound, tease apart every strand of conversation. Suddenly, the Crims all sounded foolish, repeating the stories of their petty victories to one another again and again. Just like pretties.
Skinny?
She turned from the fire to find Shay next to her. Is Zane okay? Shay peered closer, and her eyes widened.
Tallywa, you look.
Tally didn't need her to finish. She could see it in Shay's eyes. She looked terrible. Tally smiled tiredly at this news. That was part of the cure, of course. She might still be gorgeous, her bone structure perfect, her skin flawless,
but Tally's face revealed the turmoil inside. Now that she could think unpretty thoughts, she would no longer be beautiful every minute of the day. Anger, fear, and anxiety were not pretty-making.
Zane's all right. It's just me.
Shay leaned her weight against Tally, putting an arm around her.
Why so sad, Skinny? Tell me.
It's just... She glanced around at the boasting Crims.
It's everything, kind of.
Shay lowered her voice.
I thought it went perfectly.
Sure, perfect.
Until Zane went and drank too much, of course. That's all it was, right?
Tally made a non-committal sound. She didn't want to lie to Shay. Eventually, she would tell her all about the cure, which would mean explaining Zane's headaches. Shay sighed, squeezing Tally harder. There was a moment of silence, and then she asked,
Skinny, what happened to you guys up there?
Up where?
You know, when you climbed the transmission tower. It changed you somehow.
Tally played with the scarf around her wrist, wishing she could tell her friend everything. But it was too risky to share news of the cure until they were safely outside the city.
I don't know what to say, Squint. It was really bubbly making up there. You can see the whole island, and you can fall at any moment. Die, even.
That makes a difference.
I know, Shay whispered.
You know what?
How it feels. I climbed the tower. Fausto and I figured out how to hack the minders. And last night, I decided to go for it. To make myself bubbly for the breakthrough.
Really?
Tally stared at her. Shay's face glowed with pride in the firelight, her implanted eye jewels glittering. All the Crims were changing, but if Shay was hacking minders and scaling the Valentino Tower, she was way ahead of the rest of them.
That's great. And you climbed up at night?
Only way to get away with it, since you and Zane got so totally busted. Fausto said I should wear a bungee jacket, but I wanted to do it like you did. I could have fallen, died, like you said. I even cut myself on a cable.
With a smile, she showed a red mark that stretched across her palm, but then paused a moment, unpretty lines appearing on her forehead. But it was kind of disappointing.
How?
It didn't change me as much as I thought it would.
Tally shrugged.
Well, everyone's different.
I suppose so, Shay said softly. But it made me wonder.
It wasn't just you guys climbing the tower, was it?
There was something else that happened that day, Skinny. You never even hung out alone with Zane before. But since then, you two have your own secret club, smiling at your own jokes and whispering all the time. You never go anywhere without each other.
Squint, Tally said and sighed. Sorry if we've been all coupley. You know, it's my first crush as a pretty.
That's what I thought at first, but it's gone way past that, Tally. You're so different from the rest of us, both of you.
Her voice rose above a whisper. Zane gets those weird headaches that he tries to hide, and that was you screaming a minute ago, wasn't it?
Tally swallowed.
What changed you guys that day?
Tally pointed at her wrist.
Shh. Don't shush me. Tell me. Tally looked around them nervously. The fire consumed more fallen branches, hissing loudly, and most of the Crims were singing drinking songs. No one had heard Shay's outburst, but Tally could feel the hard metal of the cuff around her wrist, always listening.
I can't tell you, Squint.
Yes, you can. Shay's face seemed to change in the firelight, the pretty softness burning away as her anger grew.
You see, Tally, I remembered some things when I was up in that tower, staring down at the ground and wondering if I was going to die. And then I remembered a few more while I was falling through the ice and bouncing on the soccer field. A lot of things came back from ugly days. Isn't that great?
Tally turned away from the harsh expression on Shay's face.
Yeah, sure it is.
Glad you agree. So here's what I remembered. It's because of you that I'm here in the city, Tally. all those stories I used to tell? They were bogus. What really happened is that you followed me out to the smoke to betray me, right?
Tally felt it again. The same gut punch as when she'd seen Dr. Cable in the trees. Caught.
From the moment she'd felt the pills working on her, Tally had known somewhere inside her that this moment would come. That Shay would eventually remember what had really happened back when they were uglies. But Tally hadn't expected it so soon.
Yeah, I followed you to bring you back here. It's my fault, what happened to the smoke. The specials tracked me there.
Right. You betrayed us. After you stole David from me, of course. Shay laughed bitterly. I hate to bring the whole David thing up, but who knows if I'll remember it tomorrow, you know? So I thought I'd mention it while I'm bubbly.
Tally turned to her.
You'll remember it.
Shay only shrugged.
Maybe.
But tricks like today's don't come around that often. So you might be off the hook again by tomorrow.
Tally took a deep breath, inhaling the smell of wood smoke, burning peat, pine needles, and spilled champagne. The firelight revealed everything as bright as day, even the whorls of her fingerprints. She didn't know what to say.
Look at me, Shay said. Her flash tattoo was spinning hard, its halo of snakes blurring together like the spokes of a bicycle wheel.
Tell me what happened to you that day. Keep me bubbly. You owe me.
Tally swallowed. She and Zane had promised each other not to tell anyone. Not yet. But neither of them had realized how far Shay had come. Bubbly enough to climb the tower on her own, to finally remember what had really happened back in ugly days. Probably she could keep a secret, and telling her about the cure would give her hope, at least. It was the only way Tally could begin to make up for what she'd done. And Shay was right. Tally owed her.
Okay. Something else happened that day.
Shay nodded slowly.
I thought so. What was it?
Tally pointed at Shay's scarf, and together they pulled it off and wrapped it tightly around Tally's wrist. Another layer over the cuff. After another breath, she said in the softest whisper she could manage,
"We found a cure."
Shay's eyes narrowed.
"It's about starving yourself, isn't it?"
"No."
"Well, that helps. Hunger, coffee, playing tricks. All that stuff Zane's been doing for months. But the real cure is simpler than that."
"What is it? I'll do it."
"You can't."
"The hell with you, Tally." Shay's eyes flashed. "If you can do it, I can."
Tally shook her head. "It's a pill."
"A pill? Like vitamins?"
"No, a special pill. Croy brought it to me, the night of the Valentino bash. Try to remember, Shay. Before you and I came back to the city, Maddie had figured out how to reverse the operation. You helped me write a letter, remember?"
Shay's face went blank for a moment, then she frowned.
"That's when I was pretty."
"Right.
After we rescued you, when we were hiding out in the ruins."
"Funny. Those days are harder to remember than back when I was ugly."
Shay shook her head.
"Well, Maddie figured out a cure. But it was untested, dangerous. She wouldn't give it to you because you refused. You wanted to stay pretty. So I had to give myself up to test it. That's why I'm here."
"And Croy brought it to you a month ago?"
Tally nodded, taking Shay's hand.
"And it works. You've seen how it changed me and Zane. It makes us bubbly all the time. So once we get out of here, you can..."
Shay's expression brought Tally to a halt.
"What's the matter?"
"You and Zane both took some?"
"Yeah," Tally said. "There were two pills, and we split them. I was afraid to do it on my own."
Shay turned to the fire, pulling her hand away.
"I can't believe you, Tally."
"What?"
Shay whirled to face her.
"Why him?
Why didn't you ask me? But I... You're supposed to be my friend, Tally. I've done everything for you. I was the one who first told you about the smoke. I was the one who introduced you to David. And when you came to New Pretty Town, I helped you become one of the Crims. Did it even occur to you to share the cure with me? It's your fault I'm like this, after all. Tally shook her head. There wasn't time. I didn't even... No, of course you didn't, Shay spat. You barely even knew Zane, but he was the leader of the Crims, so hooking up with him was the next trick on your list. Just like David out in the smoke. That's why you split the cure with him.
It wasn't like that, Tally cried.
You are like that, Tally. You have always been like that. No cure is going to make you any different. You were busy betraying people a long time ago. You don't need any operation to make you selfish and shallow and full of yourself. You already were.
Tally tried to answer, but something horrible rose up in her throat, choking off her words. Then she noticed the quiet around them and realized that Shay had been yelling. The other Crims looked on in puzzlement, only the hiss of the fire filling the silence. Pretties didn't fight. They hardly ever argued, and they certainly never shouted at one another in the middle of a party. That sort of obnoxious behavior was strictly for uglies. She looked down at her wrist, wondering if Shay's raised voice had gotten through the layers of cloth and plastic. If so, it would all end tonight. Shay pulled away and whispered fiercely,
I may be my pretty self again tomorrow, Tally, but I'll remember this, I swear. No matter what sweet things I say to you, trust me, I am not your friend.
She turned and walked into the trees, thrashing through frozen branches. Tally looked around at the other Crims, the champagne glasses in their hands glittering sharply in the moonlight, reflecting the wasteful fire. She felt alone and exposed with all of them staring at her. But after a few more horrible moments of silence, they turned away and started telling breakthrough stories again. Tally's head spun. The change in Shay had been so shocking, so complete, and she hadn't even taken a pill. A few minutes of real anger had transformed her from a placid pretty to a wild beast. It didn't make sense. Suddenly, Tally remembered Dr. Cable's last words about Zane helping special circumstances. After his friends had run away, he must have been taken to see her, confessing everything he knew about the smoke and the mysterious David who took the uglies there. Maybe that was what had kept him bubbly all these months. His shame about not running away. His guilt over having betrayed his friends to Dr. Cable. Of course, Tally had her own guilty secrets. So she'd stayed bubbly too, never quite fitting in. Never quite sure of what she wanted, no matter how much champagne she drank. Old and ugly emotions were always waiting, hidden inside, ready to change her. And Shay had been transformed as well. Not by guilt, but by buried anger. Concealed behind her pretty smiles were suppressed memories of the betrayals that had cost her David, the smoke, and finally her freedom. All it had taken was climbing up the tower and falling through the ice. Enough stimulation to break the logjam in her memories, to bring that anger to the surface. And now she hated Tally. Maybe Shay wouldn't need the pills at all. Maybe old memories from ugly days were enough. Perhaps, thanks to every terrible thing that Tally Youngblood had ever done to her, Shay would find her own way to a cure.
Rain. Tally woke up with an ugly mind. It was what she used to call bubbly. The gray morning light somehow bright and glittery, sharp enough to cut flesh. The rain beat against Zane's window in malicious, half-frozen drops, tapping like impatient fingernails. But Tally didn't mind the rain. It blurred the city's spires and gardens, reducing the view to gray and green blotches. The lights of other mansions casting halos on the wet glass.
The downpour had started late the night of the party, finally extinguishing the Crims' bonfire, as if Dr. Cable had called the heavens down to drown their celebration. For the 2 days since, Tally and Zane had been trapped inside, unable to speak freely within the smart walls of Pulcher Mansion. She hadn't even had a chance to tell him about Shay's outburst of old memories, or about meeting Dr. Cable in the woods. Not that she was looking forward to revealing what she'd confessed to Shay, or bringing up what Cable had told her about Zane's past. This morning had brought another mountain of pings, but Tally couldn't face any more requests to join the Crims. The stadium collapse and the last 2 days of feed coverage had made them the hottest clique in New Prettytown, but a bunch of new members was exactly what the Crims didn't need. What they needed was to stay bubbly. Tally worried, though, that a third day stuck inside by the rain would bore everyone back into being pretty heads. Zane was already awake, sipping coffee and staring out the window, absently spinning his cuff with one finger. He glanced at her as she stirred, but didn't make a sound. The silence between them since they'd been cuffed had felt conspiratorial, their secret whispers intimate. But Tally wondered if talking so little was gradually shutting them off from each other. Shay had been right about one thing. Tally had hardly known Zane before that day they'd climbed the tower. What Dr. Cable had told her made Tally realize that she didn't know him very well. But once the cuffs were off and they were outside the city, their memories freed from the blur of pretty-headedness, there would be nothing to stop them from telling each other everything. "Bogus weather, huh?" she said. "Just a few degrees colder and it'd be snowing." Tally brightened. Yeah, snow would be totally pretty-making. She fished a dirty t-shirt from the floor, wadded it up, and threw it at his head. "Snowball fight!" He let it bounce off him, smiling softly. Zane's headache from the night of the party had passed, but it had left him in a serious mood. Without having said a word, they both knew they would have to escape the city soon. It all came down to the cuffs. Tally gave hers an experimental pull. It slipped from her wrist onto her hand, catching only centimeters from coming off. She'd hardly eaten anything the day before, determined to fade away to nothing if that's what it took to get the thing off. But Tally wondered if she would ever be skinny enough. The cuff's circumference looked just smaller than the width of the bones in her hand, a measurement that no amount of starvation was going to alter. She stared at the red marks left by the metal. The big bone that was the joint of her left thumb was most of the problem. Tally envisioned pulling the thumb back hard enough to snap the bone, leaving room for the cuff to slip off, and couldn't imagine anything more painful. A ping came from the door and Tally sighed. Someone had gotten sick of being ignored and had come around in person. "We're not here, are we?" Zane said. Tally shrugged. Not if it was Shay outside, or some wannabe trying to get into the Crims. Come to think of it, there was no one she was in the mood to see. The ping came again. "Who is it, anyway?" Tally asked the room, but the room didn't know, which meant whoever it was wasn't wearing their interface ring. "That's interesting," Zane said. They looked at each other for a moment, and Tally felt the moment when curiosity got the better of them. "Okay, open up," she told the room. The door slid away to reveal Fausto, looking like a kitten pulled out of the river. His hair was plastered to his head, his clothing soaked, but his eyes were bright. Under his arms he carried two hoverboards, their knobbly surfaces dripping water on the floor. He walked into the room without a word and dropped the boards. They came to a hovery stop at knee height, while Fausto unloaded 4 crash bracelets and 2 belly sensors from his pockets. He took one of the boards and turned it over, gesturing at the access panel on its bottom. Tally rolled out of bed to take a closer look. The nuts securing the panel were stripped, and 2 red wires snaked out, their ends twisted together and sealed with black tape. Fausto mimed pulling the wires apart, then opened his hands in a gesture that meant, "Where is it?" He grinned. Tally nodded slowly. Fausto was still bubbly from the breakthrough,
his flash tattoo spinning. He, at least, hadn't wasted the last rainy days and nights. These boards were tricked up, ugly style. When the wires were disconnected, their governors and trackers would crash, freeing the boards from the city interface. Once they'd gotten rid of the cuffs, Zane and Tally could fly anywhere they wanted. "Awesome," she said aloud, not caring if the walls heard it. They didn't wait for sunshine. Flying through the rain was like standing under a freezing shower. The hole in the wall had coughed up goggles and grippy shoes, so it was possible to stay on board, but just barely. The high winds plastered Tally's soaking winter coat against her skin, pulling her hood back from her head and threatening to spill her on every turn. Her reflexes from ugly days hadn't disappeared, though. If anything, the operation had improved her balance, and the almost freezing rain kept Tally from slipping into a pretty haze, even with her coat's heating turned to maximum. With a pounding heart and chattering teeth, her mind stayed crystal clear, she and Zane shot down the river at treetop level, following the winding path of Denzel Park. The branches danced in the wind under them, like flailing hands trying to reach up and drag them down. As Tally leaned into turns, cutting the wind with her hands, the last traces of her morning pretty-mindedness disappeared. The weight of the sensor clipped to her belly ring, which told the board where her center of gravity was, brought back memories of expeditions to the rusty ruins with Shay, reminding her how easy it had been to sneak out of the city back in ugly days. Only the inescapable presence of the interface cuff spoiled her mood. The crash bracelets were big enough to fit over the metal ring, their soft, smart plastics conforming to its shape. Still, Tally imagined the manacle cutting into her flesh. They reached the river and turned onto it, skimming under bridges, her board slapping the churning whitecaps stirred up by the wind. Laughing maniacally, Zane pulled in front of Tally and dipped his board's tail into the water, sending up a wall of spray. She crouched low on the board, ducking the worst of the water, and tipped it forward to shoot into the lead. Banking across Zane's path, she slapped the river with her board, rising up a wall of water in front of him. She heard him whoop as he zoomed straight through it. Soaking and panting hard, Tally wondered if this is what it was like to be a special. Her senses sharp, every moment intense, her body a perfectly tuned machine. She remembered Maddie and Az saying that specials didn't have the lesions. They were cured. Of course, there was a price for being special. The small matter of a new face. Wolf-like teeth and cold, dull eyes that terrified everyone you met. And the horror movie look was nothing compared with having to work for special circumstances. Tracking down runaway uglies and crushing anyone the city felt threatened by. And what if the special operation changed your mind in some other way? Making you obedient instead of empty-headed. With all that speed and strength, running away from the city would be easy. But what if the special operation put something like the cuff inside you? Something that would always tell them where you were? A face full of water reminded Tally to keep her mind on the game, and she shot high into the air, soaring over a footbridge. Below, Zane was looking back uncertainly, trying to figure out where she disappeared to. Tally dropped down just ahead of him, hitting the river with a sound like a face being slapped, throwing up an explosion of water. But she knew instantly she'd hit too fast. At this speed, the water was hard as concrete, and her feet slipped at the impact. Tally felt herself sliding off. She was falling for a moment. Then the crash bracelets kicked in, gripping her wrists cruelly and spinning her to a safe halt. She wound up waist-deep in the freezing water, hanging from the bracelets, crying out as she discovered a whole new level of being soaked. She was glad to see that her attack had also dumped Zane. "Really bubbly move, Skinny," he shouted, pulling himself back onto his hoverboard. Too out of breath to answer, she crawled onto hers and lay on her stomach, laughing. The two of them wordlessly coasted to the ground to recover their breath. On the muddy riverbank, they huddled close for warmth. Her heart still pounded. The expanse of rain-struck water stretched before them like a field of glittering flowers. "So beautiful," Tally said, trying to imagine what it would be like in the wild with Zane, feeling this way every day, free from the mind-numbing restrictions of the city. Her wrist was throbbing, and she pulled her crash bracelet off to take a look. In the wipeout, the metal cuff underneath had cut into her skin. Tally gave it a tug, but even with her soaking skin, it stopped at its usual spot. "Still stuck," she said. Zane took her hand and said softly, "Don't push it, Tally." He covered the cuff with her coat and whispered, "You'll only make your wrist swell up." She swore, pulling on her hood. The rain beat on the plastic, impatient fingers drumming on her head. "I thought maybe with the water..."
"Nah, cold makes metal contract, so they're probably tighter out here."
Tally looked at Zane, raising an eyebrow. "So," she whispered, "do they get bigger when they get hot?" He was silent for a moment. Then, so softly that she could barely hear him above the rain, he whispered, "If they got really hot, I guess they'd get a little bigger." "How much?" He shrugged, the gesture almost invisible under his winter coat, but he was interested now. "How much heat can you stand?" "You're not talking about a candle, are you?" Zane shook his head. "Something much hotter than that. Something we could control, so it wouldn't roast our hands off. We'd still get burned, though." She looked at the bulge in her sleeve and sighed. "Beats breaking your own thumb, I guess." "Doing what?" "Just something I was..." Her voice trailed off. Zane's gaze followed hers across the river. On the opposite bank, two figures on hoverboards stood watching them, faceless in their hooded raincoats. Tally fought to keep her voice down. "Smokies?" Zane shook his head. "Those are dorm jackets." "What would City Uglies be doing out in this rain?" He stood up. "Maybe we should ask." Cutters. On the Uglyville side of the river, the four of them sheltered together under a tarp covering a paper recycler, hidden from view and out of the rain. The two Uglies weren't wearing rings. Tally was glad to see them. The four of them wouldn't be recorded by the city interface as having hung out together.
"Is that really you, Tally?" the girl whispered.
Yeah. Recognize me from the feeds?"
"No, it's me, Sussy. And this is Dex," she said. "Don't you remember us?"
"Remind me." The girl just stared. She was wearing a crude leather strap around her neck, which looked like the sort of thing a smoky might own, handmade and discolored by age. Where had she gotten it?
"We helped you with that New Smoke Lives thing, remember?" the boy offered. "Back when you were... ugly."
An image came slowly into Tally's mind, huge burning letters lit as a diversion while she and David had broken into special circumstances. These were two of the Uglies who had organized that trick, and then helped them hide out in the rusty ruins, bringing news and supplies from the city, playing more tricks to keep the wardens and specials busy.
"You really forgot us," Dex said. "So it's true. They do something to your brains."
"Yeah, it's true," Zane said, "but a little softer, please."
The rain was as loud as a jet engine on the plastic tarp, making it hard to hear. The two Uglies needed reminding to keep their voices down. Dex's stare dropped to Tally's wrist, covered by a crash bracelet and bound in a scarf, as if he didn't believe the cuff was really under there listening.
"Sorry."
When his eyes crept back up to stare at her face, Dex couldn't hide his amazement at her transformation.
Sussy was silent, awestruck and hanging on every word.
Under their gaze, Tally felt self-conscious and weirdly powerful. It was obvious the two would do anything she or Zane asked. Back when her brain had been prettified, she'd felt entitled to this sort of awe. But now, with her head clear, it was kind of embarrassing. But talking to the two Uglies was less awkward than it might have been.
Tally's unpretty thoughts over the last month had made it easier to look at their imperfect faces. They didn't horrify her as much as her first glance at Croy had. The tiny gap between Sussie's two front teeth seemed more charming than revolting, and even Dex's zits didn't make her skin crawl.
But the damage wasn't permanent, Zane was saying. We're starting to get smarter, which, by the way, is not something you can spread around to everyone, okay?
The two nodded dumbly, and Tally wondered if hinting about the cure to random uglies was worth the risk. Of course, enlisting Sussie and Dex might be the quickest way to get a message to the new smoke.
What's the news from the ruins? She asked.
Sussie leaned closer, remembering to whisper.
That's why we came down here. As far as we could tell, the new Smokies had all disappeared. Until last night.
What happened last night? Tally asked.
Well, since they went missing, we've been going to the ruins every few nights, Dex said, to check out the old spots, light sparklers, but we haven't seen anything all month.
Tally and Zane shared a glance. A month ago was about the same time Croy had left the pills for Tally to find. The timing probably wasn't a coincidence.
But last night we found some stuff in an old hideout, Sussie said. Burned out light sticks and some old magazines.
Old magazines? Tally asked.
Yeah, Sussie said. From the Rusty era. Those ones that showed how ugly everyone used to be.
I don't think the new Smokies would have left those lying around, Tally said. Those are precious. I knew someone who died to save them. So they must be back.
But they're lying low, Dex said, playing it safe.
Why? Zane said softly. And for how long?
How would we know? Dex said. That's why we came down here today. We were going to sneak over in the rain and find you, Tally. We thought you guys might have a clue.
After you were all over the news the other day, we figured something was up, Sussie added. Like that stadium thing was a trick, right?
Glad you noticed, Tally said. The new Smokies were supposed to notice too.
Apparently they did.
We figured you knew something about it, Sussie said, especially after we spotted some of your pretty friends out here in Uglyville.
Tally frowned.
Pretties? Out here?
Yeah, in Cleopatra Park. I recognized a couple of them from the feeds. I think they were Crims. That's your clique, right?
Yeah, but...
Sussie frowned. You didn't know?
Tally shook her head. After the last couple of days, she had gotten a few pings from other Crims, mostly complaints about the rain. But no one had said anything about going to Uglyville.
What were they up to? Zane asked.
Dex and Sussie looked at each other, unhappy expressions on their faces.
We're not sure, Sussie said. They wouldn't talk to us, just chased us off.
Tally let out a slow breath through her teeth.
Pretties were allowed on this side of the river. They could go anywhere they wanted in the city. But they never came to Uglyville.
Which meant that Cleopatra Park would be a great place for a pretty to find some privacy, especially in the driving rain. But privacy for what?
Did you tell everyone to lie low for a while? Zane asked her.
Yeah, I did.
Tally wondered which of the Crims was behind this, and what this was.
Take us there, she said.
Sussie and Dex led them up toward the park, flying slowly in the steady rain. Figuring that someone was monitoring the cuffs' positions, Tally had asked them to take an indirect route. The journey wound through half-familiar sights of her childhood. Ugly dorms and schools, sodden parks, and empty soccer fields. Despite the downpour, there were a few uglies out. One bunch was taking turns skidding down a hill, screaming as they ran to throw themselves onto a mudslide. A few played tag in a dorm courtyard, slipping and falling and winding up just as muddy as the first group. They were all having too much fun to notice the four hoverboarders gliding silently past. Tally wondered if she'd had that much fun as an ugly. All she could recall from those days was dying to turn pretty, to get across the river and leave all this behind. Floating above the earth, her perfect face hidden by a hood,
She felt like some risen spirit, enviously watching the living and trying to remember what it was like to be one of them. Cleopatra Park, high in the greenbelt on the outer edge of Uglyville, was empty. The walking paths had been transformed into small creeks carrying the rain down toward the swollen river. The wildlife seemed to be in hiding, except for a few miserable-looking birds that clung to the branches of the great pines that drooped low under their loads of water. Sussie and Dex brought them to a clearing marked with solemn flags, and Tally felt a flush of recognition. "This is one of Shay's favorite spots. She taught me to hoverboard here." "Shay?" Zane said. "But she'd tell us if she was up to some kind of trick, wouldn't she?"
Maybe not," Tally said softly.
No pings had come from Shay since the fight. "I've been meaning to tell you, Zane. She's kind of pissed off at me right now."
"Wow," Sussie said. "I thought pretties all liked each other."
"Usually they do," Tally sighed. "Welcome to the new world." Zane narrowed his eyes.
"I think Tally and I need to talk."
He glanced at the two uglies. It took them a moment to realize what he meant, but then Sussie said, "Oh, sure, we'll be going. But what if..."
"If the new Smokies show up again, send me a ping," Tally said.
"Doesn't the city read your mail?"
"Probably. Don't say anything except that you saw us on the feeds and you want to join the Crims when you turn 16. Leave the real message hidden under that recycler, and I'll send someone to pick it up. Got that?"
"Got it," Sussie said with a gap-toothed smile. Tally figured the two would be headed out to the ruins every night now, rain or not, looking for the new Smokies, happy to have a mission. She gave them a pretty smile.
"Thanks for everything."
Tally and Zane sat in silence for a minute after the uglies had left, watching the clearing from a thick strand of trees. The plastic slalom flags drooped miserably in the rain, the wind barely lifting them. Rainwater gathered in spots, the shallow pools reflecting the gray sky like rippling mirrors. Tally remembered flying between the flags on her hoverboard in ugly days, learning to bank and turn, back when she and Shay were really friends. It was impossible to guess why Shay would be visiting this spot. Maybe it was nothing but a few Crims practicing their hoverboarding, figuring it was a great way to stay bubbly. No big deal. As they sat, Tally realized she was out of excuses for not telling Zane everything. It was time to admit what she'd done to the smoke, and how she'd told Shay about the cure, and past time to bring up what Dr. Cable had revealed about Zane. But Tally wasn't looking forward to the conversation, and being soaking wet and cold wasn't helping. Her coat's heating was already turned up to maximum. The bubbliness from hoverboarding had worn off, replaced by Tally's anger at herself for having waited this long. The always listening cuffs made it too easy to avoid mentioning uncomfortable subjects.
"So what happened between you and Shay?" Zane said. His voice stayed soft, but carried an edge of frustration.
"Her memories are starting to come back." Tally stared into a mud puddle before her, watching drops that had made their way down through the soaked pine trees distort its surface. "On the night of the breakthrough, she got really mad at me. She blames me for the specials finding the smoke, which, I guess, is pretty much what happened. I betrayed them." He nodded. "I figured that. All the stories you two told, back before the cure, they had you rescuing her from the smoke. That sounds like pretty talk for betrayal."
Tally looked up at him.
"So you knew?
That you'd gone undercover for special circumstances? I'd guessed it."
"Oh." Tally didn't know whether to feel relieved or ashamed. Of course, Zane had cooperated with Dr. Cable himself, so maybe he understood.
"I didn't want to do it, Zane. I mean, at first I went out there to bring Shay back, so they'd make me pretty. But then I changed my mind. I wanted to stay in the smoke. I tried to destroy the tracker they'd given me, but I wound up setting it off. Even when I tried to do the right thing, I betrayed everyone."
Zane faced her, his eyes intense under his hood.
"Tally, we're all manipulated by the people who run this city. Shay should know that." I wish that was all, Tally said. I also stole David from her, back when we were in the smoke.
Oh, him again.
Zane shook his head.
Well, I guess she's pretty pissed off at you right now. At least that'll keep her bubbly.
Yeah, really bubbly, Tally swallowed. And there's one more thing that's got her mad.
He waited silently, rain dripping from his hood.
I told her about the cure.
You what?
Zane's whisper cut through the rain like a hiss of steam.
I had to.
Tally spread her hands imploringly. She had it halfway figured out already, Zane, and was thinking she could cure herself.
She climbed the Valentino Tower like we did, thinking that was what had changed us. But of course it didn't work, not like the pills. She kept asking me what happened to us. She said I owed her, after everything I did to her back in Ugly Days.
Zane swore under his breath.
So you told her about the pills? Great. That's one more thing that can go wrong.
But she's totally bubbly, Zane. I don't think she'll give us away, Tally said, then shrugged. If anything, finding out about the pills made her furious enough to stay bubbly for life.
Furious? Because you're cured and she's not?
No, Tally sighed. Because you are.
What?
I owed her, and you got the other pill.
But there wasn't time to.
I know that, Zane, but she doesn't. To her, it looks like...
She shook her head, feeling hot tears in her eyes. The rest of her was so cold, her fingers were slowly going numb. She began to tremble.
It's okay, Tally.
Zane reached out and took her hand, squeezing hard through the thick glove.
You should have heard her, Zane. She really hates me.
Listen, I'm sorry about that, but I'm glad it was me.
She looked up, her vision blurring with tears.
Yeah.
Thanks for all the headaches, you mean.
Better than staying a pretty brain, he said, but that's not what I meant. That day was about more than just finding those pills. I'm glad about you and me.
She looked up and found him smiling. His fingers, still interlaced with hers, also trembled in the cold.